Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek, America's horse husband from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 19th, 2010. It is our 15th episode, and this one's sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. So good morning, horse world, and good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good, Jamie. Hey, can you believe it's been 15 episodes already? We've been doing this for 3 weeks.
Every time I read that, I'm like, wow, that's another one down. That's pretty amazing. I do want to let you know, Glenn, that I did have to, for the first time, it's a record-breaking day. The first time today I had to turn the heat on in my house.
Jamie, we hate you, by the way. Just want to let you know that.
It's freezing in here. It is 67 degrees in my house. That is just ridiculous. It needs to be at least 70 at all times.
That's what we keep our heat at in the wintertime is 67, and you're talking about it being freezing in there. Yeah. Everybody else in the country now is gone. We hate her. Just hate her.
We need no, this is why people in Phoenix live here, although I would like to let you know that in the summertime I will be coming to your house because 117 is no fun for anybody. It doesn't matter. So we're having our summer right now. And you guys are having winter. It kind of it reverses in Phoenix and in the Valley of Death.
Well, we got to go over and visit you sometime over this winter when it's bitter cold here, and just go out and visit Jamie and see the homestead there and the ponies and get a ride in an F-16, all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. If you get a ride in an F-16, let me know, and then I'll figure out how I can get a ride in an F-16.
Not even wives get rides in F-16s?
Oh, no way. You know what? I said, just take me up. Just come on. And Chad said, I can do that. I can take you up in the jet once. He goes, and then you better find a job.
Well, we wanted to say hello to everybody at Kentucky Performance Products. We know they listen over there at the offices every morning. They're our title sponsor for today. So hi, everybody. And we want to remind everybody, we have a bunch of new listeners now coming on, Jamie. We've doubled our numbers this week, and, you know, it keeps growing and growing. There's more and more interest in the show. More and more people find out about it. More and more towns are finding out about us. So we want to remind everybody about a couple of things. The first thing is you can listen to our past shows. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com, and you'll see a list of our shows there. Go into any one. You can listen to them anytime. You can download them to iTunes and listen to them on your MP3 player, and we know a lot of people do that. So you can do that as well. Also, you can listen to our show live or recorded, the past episodes, on your iPhone or on your Android phone. About 70% of the Android phones work, and you can do that just by opening up your browser and going to Horses in the or Mobi. Let me think about this. It's horsesinthemorning.com/Mobi. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can do that by going to the Mobi. I'm sorry, horsesinthemorning.mobi. You're right.
So, you know, just try one of those, and eventually it'll work.
Yeah. or there's a link and instructions on our website exactly how to do that too. So you can go back. You know, I know we have a lot of new listeners from around the world now who are joining us and going, who are these two? If you want to hear more about us and our history and our past and why we're on this show, go back to episode number one, and we talked a little bit more about ourselves in that episode, and just take a listen to that, and I think you'll find out more about us than you even want to know.
Or, you know, you can always just email us or Facebook us your very personal questions, and I promise Glenn will answer them.
Yeah. That's very funny. And that email address is jamie@horseradionetwork.com.
Oh, thanks. Hey, we had a Facebook winner yesterday, Glenn. We ask everybody to go ahead on, if you couldn't call or if you're listening to a recorded show or you're busy, give us a Facebook post. We want to hear about your breed of horse. We want to see pictures of your horses. We want you to be a part of our Facebook page. And obviously, the winner, we select one person who enters every day into our contest, and they become a winner for a daily prize. And yesterday's winner was Rita Tercy Hansen. She sent the stinkinest, cutest picture of her Morgan and her miniature donkey. And it is way cute. So let me read her message real quick, and then you can tell us about today's daily prize. Rita writes, "Hi, Glenn and Jamie. Per your request, I vote for Morgans. We do dressage and trail ride. We love their sensibility, athleticism, and loyalty. This is a picture of my Morgan Tat and our miniature donkey, Oliver." What a great name for a mini donkey, Oliver. Oliver! Tat and Oliver live at home with us, and Oliver is definitely the boss of this little herd. So thank you so much, Rita. Congratulations for winning our daily prize. And today, I am jealous of the winner of this one. I want one so bad. Glenn, tell everybody what it is.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that Rita won a $50 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections. So congratulations. You're going to have fun spending that for the holidays. Well, our daily prize today, we have a great prize. This comes from one of our sponsors that sponsors the Horse Tip Daily Show. And this is an unbelievable prize, actually. They're giving a choice of one of their memory foam or stabilizer half pads from EcoGold. EcoGold's a really cool company out of Canada. They have high-performance products for the ultimate in comfort protection for your horse. And let me tell you a little bit, Jamie, about the memory foam pads they have. EcoGold's memory foam pads offer a triple protection and are designed with unique technology combining three layers of protection. The first is memory foam to reduce pressure points and fill the gaps between your horse and the saddle. The second is high-impact open cell foam to absorb shock and protect from your horse's back from impact. And the third is low-density open cell foam for an extra level of comfort and cushioning. So this is an unequaled level. The foams are just unequaled the way they have put it together, and it just provides the ultimate protection. And with all of their products, they have 100% satisfaction warranty for 30 days. So you have to be 100% satisfied. We have a lot of the guests that are on our shows use their products and love them, and this is a $130 value. The $130 half pad, you get to take your choice of which one. They have like five or six different options, you know, for eventing and jumping and things like that. So you get to take your pick which one. And you can find them, if you want to take a look, at ecogold.ca for Canada. We love EcoGold. We love everybody up there. They've been terrific to work with. And I know that their riders that use their products love them too. So that's today. And I think what we're going to do, it worked out so well yesterday, Jamie. Don't you think that I think we're going to open it up to callers today? And also, if you post on the Facebook page again today, and I think what we're going to do for Friday, what we did last Friday seemed to work pretty well, is Friday's sort of an open day. You can call us about whatever you want to talk about. So give us a call today on whatever you want to discuss, whatever you want to talk about, and we would be happy to get you on the air and hear from you. If you just want to tell us where you're calling from, how you listen to the show, whatever you want to do, we would love to hear about it. What we want you to do, post on Facebook for us, if you can, is just post over the weekend. You have until 9 a.m. Monday morning Eastern time, and all of those posts will count for in the drawing for the memory foam pad as well, is we want you to post how you listen to the show, when you listen to the show, how and when. Do you listen live? Do you listen recorded? What you're doing? Do you listen when you drive into work or when you're cleaning stalls, things like that? And, Jamie, if I could, I'd like to just and thank everybody who posted yesterday. We had a bunch of posts yesterday, and I can't read them all, but there's one I wanted to read because it's a little different. Did you see the one from Ann Svensson?
I did not.
Okay. She
because
says, good morning,
my Facebook page is messed up, so I'm gonna give it to you because I can't see it.
Okay. Well, she it was terrific. I was so happy to hear from her. She said, "Good morning, Glenn and Jamie and Jennifer. Thank you for a great morning show. For us, it is more an afternoon show, and I am at work, so then I download it to my iPod and listen in the evening when I'm out in the stable caring for our horses. Our favorite breed is the Lusitano. Just because I have the cutest Lusitano stallion that will do about anything for a carrot. You have to see this, a YouTube clip of him beginning of training to sit. He knew he would get the carrot every time and sat instead of standing up. In between sitting, he rolled and sat again. He looked in this video. You have to see it. Go to our Facebook page. We'll post it on our Horses in the Morning show notes for today. He actually rolled in between each time like a dog and sat up for his carrot. And then as soon as he got his carrot, he would roll again, sit up like a dog. It was so cute. Well, one of the things she said is, I love him so much. He also became Lusitano champion of champions here in Sweden. So he's a really good boy. And then she goes on to talk about her other horses. So there's a listener in Sweden every day.
Oh, that is so cool. And I love the Lusitano breeds. You know, just by doing that, you are eligible for a $500 shopping spree from Equestrian Collections, thanks to equestriancollections.com. And if you also post or call, of course, the number is 347-637-3238. You also potentially could win your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600 from worldequestrianbrands.com. So very good reason to call and post and be a part of today's show. And speaking of, let's talk to Jennifer. What is coming up today on the show?
Actually, I think Jennifer is chatting with a caller right now off the line.
No.
So I think I'll take this. We have coming up on today's show a chat all about Frisians. We have Jason Tice, who's the executive director of the Frisian Horse Association of North America, and he'll be on with us talking about Frisians and, you know, what is it with the Frisians that everybody seems to love. So we'll be on with Jason. We'll be here with us. And then we have, let me see here, Janine Everhart. She's from Tan Bark Acres, and that's a Frisian farm, and she's part of the Frisian Horse Association of the Mideast, and she'll be on with us talking about curring. And I know nothing about how they rate the horses and do all that, so I think that we're going to ask her about that and talk about curring. And, of course, it's Friday, so it's time for Lisa from the Friday Chronicle Report. You weren't here last week, but Lisa did such a cool job talking about the history of the Chronicle through time, and I know she has some topics she wants to talk about today. So we have a jam-packed show, but we'd also like your calls at 347-637-3238, and we have a caller right now, Beth from Georgia. Let's get Beth on. Hi, Beth. You're on the air.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Great. So what's going on in Georgia?
Well, we're just getting ready to go to work. We've been playing with the horses. I've got the best horse husband in the world.
Aww.
Well, that's terrific. Why is he the best in the world?
Well, because he cleans the barn, he feeds the horses, he helps me tack them up when I'm tired, he makes me go ride when I'm tired. He's awesome.
Wow,
oh,
that's
he's
pretty
ruining
darn
it for the
good.
Rest of us. Now, he's ruining it for the rest of us.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said he's ruining it for the rest of us.
Probably.
By setting a good example.
Let me tell you what I have to do for him. I had to learn to play the drums. I had to learn to play the drums and be the drummer in his band.
Chick drummers are way hot, Beth, so I'm sure you're getting having plenty of fun doing that.
It is way fun.
Well, what kind of horses do you have?
We have a quarter horse, appendix quarter horse, and we have a little miniature.
Oh.
Her name is Pip. She's rather naughty for miniatures, but we love her.
Well, Ben, is she used for anything, or is she a babysitter?
She's a babysitter, and we you know, exercise her by ground driving her, or we pony her off the quarter horse some days. She's been in a parade or two, just being ground driven, and the kids love her, and she learned to ride in my van. She likes to ride in the van.
In your van?
Yes, yes. And I wish I had a big horse that was as easy to train as her, because a little clicker and a couple of carrots and 5 minutes, she's loaded in the van riding down the road just as happy as can be. And
well,
so.
That's so cool. Maybe you'll get a million YouTube hits by somebody videotaping you.
Yeah, I'll have to work on that now, won't I?
Well, Beth, we do appreciate your call. Thank you so much for being a part of Horses in the Morning, and thank you so much for listening.
Oh, we love it. Thank you. We bring joy to our lives.
Oh, that's
well, great,
very sweet.
Beth, thanks.
All right. Well, actually, right now we have a very special guest on the phone. It's Jason Tyson. Jason, are you there? You're on the air with us.
I am here.
Jason is the executive director of the Friesian Horse Association of North America, and we're kind of doing a little bit of a Friesian day here, Jason. We just want to hear from Friesian lovers and people about their Friesians and who has experience with Friesians, and, you know, we just decided to go straight to the top and find out from the executive director, tell us about the Friesian, where it came from, why it's popular. That's a big question, so break it down if you want.
Well, I tell you that the Friesians are really gaining a lot of popularity here in North America, and primarily it's because of their long hair. You know, they're great. They're just beautiful to look at, but they're gaining a lot of popularity in their sportability, primarily with dressage and driving both. With the World of Games just going on here at the Kentucky Horse Park, you saw a lot of Friesians, and then we also had a lot of participation in the opening ceremonies, and it really helped to capture the audience and just showing how popular that these horses are and what they really can do. So it's just fantastic to see that these horses are excelling so much in the sportability.
Yeah. So a little bit of background and my sketchy knowledge on Friesians, I mean, besides they're like the prettiest thing in the world, is that they come from, is it true that they were plow horses in Holland?
Yes, at one time they were. They were. And you know, they almost faced extinction at one time because as man developed the machine, you really didn't have a use for the Friesian, and it really took a small group in the Netherlands to bring them back again. It was so, like I said, they were almost extinct at one time. So it's great to see that they have grown in popularity, and the breeding policies are so strict. You know, there's only 100 approved stallions in the world, which 25 of them are here in the U.S. and Canada. So, you know, the strict breeding guidelines are just fantastic. So hopefully
wow, there's
that crisis again.
Only 25 approved stallions. Now, we're going to talk to somebody a little bit, talk to Janine Everhart about curing a little bit later, but 25 in the U.S. and so 100 in the world. How do you keep the gene pool big enough, or is it constantly changing and adding horses?
Well, you know, to have an approved stallion is like catching lightning in a bottle. just for instance, we had 100 stallions go through the inspection process last year, and out of those 100, 4 of them were invited to go on to our 70-day testing, and out of that 4, only one was approved. You say that the gene pool is very tight, but at the same time, we're maintaining, and that's what keeps our value of our horses so much, you know, because there is such a tight gene pool that you know, the value is much greater than some of the other breeds.
So we'll get to the 70-day testing in a minute. Do you find, you know, when I try to describe a Friesian to somebody, I say, okay, do you remember the movie Lady Hawk? And do you remember the movie the Zorro? Because those are two very popular Friesians in those movies. And then I can say, it's that big black horse. You know, do you find that when movies like that come out, the popularity soars a little bit?
Yes, quite a bit. You know, and people see them in the movie and they say, wow, look at that. You know, and we can do demos or anything anywhere, you know, any of the equine affairs and so on. And I tell you, when the Friesians come onto the stage, it's just a wild moment because you're seeing all those feathers, you're seeing all that hair, and then the black beauty, and then and the same thing is true with the movies. So we get a lot of calls when people see them on the screen.
Well, you know, I got to say that I'm a driver, and there is nothing. I love draft horses. I'm a Percheron guy, so I like big black draft horses. And, of course, Frisians have that beautiful black coloring and the feathering to go with it. When you see Frisians, especially, you know, singles, pairs, four in hands, there's no sight like that pulling a beautiful carriage than a Frisian pulling it.
You are correct there. It's wonderful, and when you're standing there next to them and they're doing an obstacle, and you can just kind of feel the earth shake underneath you because there is so much power behind the Frisians, it's just a good sight to see.
Now, are more of them used for driving or riding, or is it sort of half and half, or, you know, how's that fall out?
Well, you're really seeing a good 50-50 right now. You know, they're really gaining the popularity, as I mentioned before, in the dressage ring because of their wonderful gaits. But you're also seeing them in driving too. You know, it's because they are great movers, and so it's just good to see a good balance.
Now, you know, they do other things with them too. What are some of the other things that Frisians are used for?
Well, you are seeing just your standard pleasure riding. You're seeing some for endurance. Now, you wouldn't think of a Frisian as being an endurance horse.
But, no, I wouldn't actually.
but you know, just on a very small scale, you are seeing some doing some endurance. But it's primarily dressage or driving.
Now, okay, on YouTube. And I do have some experience with this because I saw him at Equitana many, many years ago. And it's a guy, his name is Ramon Becerra, and what he does is are you familiar with his act at all?
I am, yep.
Okay, so describe what Ramon does with his Frisians.
Well, I've seen him do kind of like the Roman riding.
Uh-huh.
Where he's taken two Frisians and he's standing up on the back of them and Ramon actually did a part during the World Equestrian Games opening ceremonies too, which was a pleasure to see.
It was beautiful.
But
yeah.
I have seen him do quite a bit of Roman riding.
Yeah, well, what I'm talking about, and you can YouTube it, is Ramon has a Frisian stallion named El Diablo. And he rides the Frisian and does classical dressage with the Frisian. At the same time, he's driving a black mini in front of the Frisian, who is also doing classical dressage to mimic the Frisian. And it's like a big, giant Frisian and tiny little Frisian. And it is the coolest thing. He lays the Frisian stallion down, the mini, you know, jumps over him. It is the most amazing stuff, and that just is a testament to me to the temperament of a Frisian.
I haven't seen that act, so
Google
that up. Yep, I will.
Yeah, we'll have to put that in our show notes. That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
It's very cool. It is very, very cool.
You know, I know one of the things that I've read about Frisians, and I've not seen this, we used to own an acting company, and we did medieval fairs and feasts and things for a long time. But Frisians also are used in Europe for a little bit of reenactment and a little bit of tilting at the ring, which is a term that not too many people probably know.
What is that?
Tilting at the ring is a thing that the reenactors do, where you see them run really fast and with the spear and then capture the, you know, spear the rings that are hanging up along the rail. It's a game that's played during medieval reenactments and things, and I've seen Frisians doing that. One, because they're very colorful and very flashy, and you know they put on quite a show. So I think you're probably seeing them more too, and a lot more entertainment than we have seen them in the past.
That would be correct. You are. They've got and it's primarily with their beauty. You're seeing them in the entertainment world because of their beauty, and people are just like we said earlier, just in awe whenever they see one of these black pearls.
What's changing now? How are things how are things changing in the breed? You know, where's the future of the breed going?
Well, you know, we have strict guidelines that that we have to maintain with the breed, and that's why you're seeing so few stallions being approved because of those guidelines. But one of the things you are seeing is a difference would be a more modern, lighter horse. That's one of the things that has changed with the breed. You know, you've got your standard Baroque horse, but you're also seeing more of a lighter balanced horse.
Yeah, I have noticed that actually over the years. Well, they are an absolutely beautiful breed. I have one more question for you. How many are in the United States and the world? Do you know?
Well, right now in the U.S. we've got approximately 13,000, and that includes Canada also. So 13,000 here, and then worldwide, I would say there's probably close to 40,000. So you know,
right.
It's still a really new breed, and.
But that's a big comeback from potential extinction. So that's
correct.
Very
yeah, exactly.
Impressive.
Correct.
Well,
and
you
you're
can
starting
find
to see
the
them all
website.
Over.
Well, you can
I'm
find
sorry?
The website for the Friesian Horse Association of North America. You can find it at FHANA.com. We'll put a link to that in our show notes as well. And we encourage everybody to stop over there and check it out. They have a lot of good information on there and, of course, a lot of pretty pictures. So we appreciate you being on, Jason, and we're going to continue our conversation about Friesians with more guests. So thank you for laying the way today.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye, Jason. So that
Bye-bye.
Was Jason Tite, Executive Director of the Friesian Horse Association of North America.
Hey, Glenn, our sponsor this half hour, by the way, I have to get this out, is Kentucky Performance Products. And, you know, all horses have individual nutritional needs, and we know that meeting them can be challenging. It doesn't matter if you're a professional horseman or a weekend warrior, you want to provide the nutrition necessary for your horse to thrive. So the experts at Kentucky Performance Products understand this, and they have developed supplements that target very specific needs. Kentucky Performance Products are formulated to complement today's feeds, and they also safeguard against over-supplementation. Best of all, the supplements work. So to choose the right Kentucky Performance Product supplement for your horse, go to kppusa.com, or you can call 1-800-772-1988. To learn more about horse nutrition and interact with the experts of Kentucky Performance Products, just join their Facebook page.
Well, thank you to KPP. Have you ever ridden a Friesian, Jamie?
I have, actually, and it was one of those moments. It's funny. The reason I mentioned Ramon Becerra, he has Ramon's Equestrian Entertainment, and, you know, this is just one of those bizarre things that you do in your life that you look back on, you're like, I'm so glad I did that because that was so cool. I met Ramon at Equitana. And was kind of in between jobs. I was 19 years old, and he needed a groom to travel around with. And I was there with, I worked for the Kentucky Horse Park, and we had the Mustangs at Equitana. And I met Ramon, and he needed a groom, and our Mustang program was over as soon as Equitana was done. So I took the job, and I traveled around the country with this guy. That is one of the most amazing horse trainers I have ever been around. He is just phenomenal, and he had this Friesian stallion. And I don't know, have you ever ridden one, Glenn?
No, and I've never driven one either, and I want to.
Okay, well, let me tell you, Ramon, part of the, it was going to be like a groom / working student program, and we traveled around for 3.5 months and went all over New England and then up to Wisconsin. We were in Pennsylvania and Long Island. And so one of the things was being a groom and a working student, I got to ride all the horses. But Ramon's English is sketchy at best, and so... My riding lessons were always very interesting because he would say things to me like, the only thing he would go do that. And then if I couldn't get it done, he'd just yell, no, 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 no. So I got yelled at a lot. But the one thing he would not let me do that just about killed me is he would not let me post. there was no posting allowed. And if you, if anybody out there has ever ridden a Friesian, because they're a heavier breed and he does so many amazing things, Spanish walk, Piaf, Passage, it takes a lot of time to warm him up. So my job was to warm up the Friesian stallion for Ramon before he got on him and schooled him. And so I had to do 25 minutes of trotting, no posting, on a horse that...
Trot for 25 minutes?
Trot for 25 minutes and no posting. And if anybody has ridden a Friesian, they are not smooth like a quarter horse. They're bred to be cart horses. They are high stepping, high knees, and it's like you're sitting on a jackhammer. It is the most painful thing in the world. But by God, I learned to do a sitting trot on just about anything on that Friesian stallion. But what in YouTube, Ramon, or we'll put his YouTube video up with his Friesian and Mini. It is just the coolest thing you've ever seen.
All right, great. Well, I'm glad you got to ride one. That's kind of cool. And got to work with him, because those are the kind of experiences that if you don't have them at 19, you're never going to have them. So
that's what I said. I said, now or never.
Well, we have our next guest on here, and we want to thank Tricia from the Friesian Horse Association of the Mideast for helping get this set up. We have Janine Everhart from TanBarkAcres.com and TanBarkAcres, rather, and your website's TanBarkAcres.com. And I think she's going to tell us more about Friesians. Janine, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey, welcome to the Horses in the Morning Show. We appreciate you being on.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. I appreciate that.
And, of course, you heard Jamie talking about how riding a Friesian is like riding a jackhammer. Did you whistle a little when she said that? Or?
Well, and it's actually kind of interesting. When I've ridden mine, they have a very long stride, actually. And then when I would post, it seems like I would go up in the air and I would be there a long time before I'd come back down.
And, yeah, it's so silly.
But interestingly enough, I mean, our farm, we're small breeders. So I'm pretty familiar with the breeding standards and what they're working for as they advance the breed. And one of the things they are working toward is what they call more modern type horses, which is less of the cart type and more of the riding type. And when they judge them for conformation, they're looking for a piece of the conformation that will assist in a smoother ride. So they are evolving the breed more to a riding horse.
Well, and that makes sense with everything they're doing with them now, especially in the dressage ring. That does
right.
make sense. And I noticed that they have become a little finer and a little less warm, bloody, you know, drafty than they, and, you know, obviously they were used in the past for pulling plows, too. So they needed that bulk, but now as it's evolving, it's kind of neat what's happening. You know, when we looked at the show notes today and Jennifer had talked to you, one of the things that stuck out for Jamie and I, because we know very little, if anything, about it, and that's curring. Can you explain curring, what it is and what that whole process involves?
Sure, sure. Well, the horses traditionally, I mean, they've gone through different evolutions for how they're to be utilized. Right, so a long time ago they were riding horses, and then they actually were race horses. They were trotters, and then they became more agrarian, and then they became cart horses, and now they're moving them back toward riding horses. In order to change those breeding standards, the registry in the Netherlands, called the KFPS, they develop breeding standards that we breeders try to breed to so far as a horse's conformation and movement. And once a year, they have judges, inspectors from the Netherlands fly over to America, and you take your horse, and it's generally done at either age 6 months or age 3 and above, the big ones at age 3, where you have the ability to take your horse and have the inspectors inspect your horse. It's not a show. They're actually inspecting your horse and giving your horse sort of a report card of about, oh, I'd say 30 or 40 items, very detailed on how they think that horse rates against the breeding standard. And that effort is called a curring, which is a Dutch word, which is basically an inspection. So it's a big deal for those of us in the Friesian world. And for the breeders, we want to make sure that we produce horses that will do well against the breeding standard that the Dutch registry has implemented. So
now, is it stallions and mares, both?
Yes, and foals. So it's stallions, mares, and geldings.
Geldings.
So you can take any of them. Yes, and I'll kind of focus right now on the one that's at 3 years of age because that's really the really important one. Although, again, you can take yours as a foal. And the reason we take our foals is because the judges will make comments and we'll know what things that horse needs to improve on, or as breeders, what we need to improve on as we're breeding other horses. But at 3 years old, they go in and it's 40% on confirmation and 60% on movement. And they bring the horse into the ring, and they look in great detail at the slope of the shoulder, the slope of the croup, the length of the leg, the heaviness of the throat, everything all the way down. And, again, they make marks against the breeding standard. And then they have the horse move in hand. So first at the walk, and the walk is judged very, very heavily. That's a very important gate. And then at the trot. And they give marks for the horse, and then the horse gets a rating. And that rating does go on that horse's papers for the life of the horse. So it's a big deal. But, yes, the stallions, it's not just for breeding potential, although, of course, if you have a mare and she does well at this, then that's a big deal. And the mare's worth more, and her foals will be worth more. For the stallions, they get an opportunity to possibly go on as to be a breeding stallion. Although I have to caution people who might be interested in having stallions as registered KFPS breeding stallions, the chance of your stallion being approved for breeding purposes is like winning the lottery. Only about 80 in the world are approved for breeding.
Yeah, Jason said there's like 25 in the United States. That's not a lot.
No, but that's a whole lot better than it used to be, I tell you. If you have an opportunity to even see an approved breeding stallion, that's a big deal. They're in just a class all by themselves. So a lot of people, they'll take the stallions and they'll get them rated, and they may not. They may be trying to see if they can move the stallion on to the very lengthy process of being approved for breeding, or they may just want to get their scores. Same thing with the geldings. Of course, the geldings are not going to be used for breeding purposes, but if you have a gelding with a high score, they can be more marketable. But and for people who own breeding mares, for example, me, one of my mares had one of her sons, who was a gelding, go to the Curring this year, and he got a very good rating, and that actually is a little check mark on her papers. So,
well, I have to say though, Janine, you know, when you're only one of 25 in the world, that ain't a bad job.
Yeah, I mean, we had in Tennessee, I live in southwestern Virginia, but in Tennessee we had a stallion who was selected to go to the next step in evaluation to be a breeding stallion. And for me personally, I've been going to Curring since 1998, and I had never seen an American stallion go to step two. And so I was thrilled, and he's a beautiful animal. I certainly wish him well. He's got a lot, big job ahead of him to be approved, and I hope he makes it. But to get this far is, to me, was so exciting to see his stallion do that.
All right. So, two questions actually. Who sets the breed standards? And the other question is, I can look in any newspaper, any little horse advertisement paper, and find Friesian stallions that are standing. So do you have a problem with the people not keeping breed standards? I mean, obviously, anybody can breed their horse. Is that a problem with kind of, I guess, Friesians that aren't as good being out there?
Well, first of all, who sets the breeding standard is the main registry in the Netherlands, the KFPS. They set the breed standards, and they are publicized, so you know what the standards are. Now, there are a number of, when I say the KFPS, that's the Dutch Friesian Horse Registry. There's a number of Friesian registries, and it gets really confusing to people who are going to buy a Friesian, because they'll say, you know, you're buying a registered horse, but the question is, what registry is it? And, again, the KFPS is the one that we happen to use, my farm. Now, as to whether or not people stand their stallions and crossbreed, I personally have no problem with that at all. That's their horse, and they're more than happy to do whatever they would like with them. I do think that the onus is sort of on a purchaser that when you go to buy a Friesian, you really need to understand the papers, and you need to understand what you're purchasing, because you may be paying for one thing and you're actually getting something else. Okay. And so as long as you're paying a fair price for your horse, then that's fine, you know. But it does get confusing, and this is one reason I've actually done a lot of educational outreach for folks, because I'm trying to help them understand better what they're buying, and so that they're not overpaying, to tell you the truth.
Well, I was just shopping, actually, on equine.com, and I found my Friesian, so I'll have to let Jennifer know about that. And this one's for sale in Virginia. It's only $11,000. And, you know, it's a beautiful driver, singles. It worked in dressage. I'm ready. So Jennifer will have to take a road trip this weekend. We are talking to Janine Everhart. And you're from Virginia, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, this might be one of yours. Oh, there you go.
Since we're breeding, we mostly have mares. I actually do happen to have a couple of mares for sale now, but no geldings.
I've warned you ahead of time.
Right.
Coriander's mine. Coriander's mine. She's sold.
Oh, is she?
Yep.
Yeah. That's one of my. Yeah.
Well,
that mare, actually, I was just telling Jennifer, that mare is in foal to a very famous stallion in the Netherlands named Beert, and I'm very excited about this foal because I had to import the semen and do it through frozen. And Friesians are not, I don't know how many of your listeners might be interested in breeding, but breeding Friesians is not for the faint-hearted, because it's a small gene pool and it's difficult to get them pregnant, and it's expensive. So that's one reason for people who might be wondering about why the foals cost what they do. That's one reason. It can cost a lot of money. Somebody was asking me earlier in the year, they said, I see where I could buy a foal for, I can't remember what it was. Oh, she was saying, I don't want to pay more than $3,500 for a foal, and including transporting the foal. I don't want to pay more than $5,000. And I just laughed. I said, I hope you find what you're looking for. I really do. But it cost me $5,000 to get one pregnant. So,
yeah, no
yeah,
kidding. Exactly.
I can't sell them for that.
All right, so let me just ask then, because that begs the question, if you're spending $5,000 to get an approved mare in foal to an approved stallion, and that baby drops, is it A, for sale immediately, and B, if not, how much and when do you sell it?
Well, again, it'll vary. Breeders, different people have different goals, but our farm are really small. And basically what we do is if the foal's a colt, if it's a boy, we pretty much sell it right away. And there's a lot of people who, because we're breeders, you know, so, and we're not looking to get a stallion candidate, really. So, you know, we have a lot of people come to us and about it. And we've sold a lot in the past before they were born. You know, people would do an in utero contract for one of our foals.
Oh, wow.
So with the market being as it is now, where there's more horses and fewer buyers, we don't see that as often, although I do have some people interested in this foal from Corey. Now, if it's a filly, what I've done is, if I've had a filly that seems like she's going to be a good filly, and I have breeding stock primarily, not performance stock necessarily, but if the bloodlines are really strong and the filly seems like a good filly, what I've done lately is I've kept them to try to bring them to 3 years old and see if I can't get that high rating as a three-year-old,
okay.
Which they call it a star rating. I mean, when you take them to the curring for the mares and stallions are slightly different, but the way they're rated, you have something called the best of the best is called a first preemie, and then there's a second preemie. And if you get first or second preemie, and only about one out of five can get those. So it's really difficult. But those are called stars, star mares. Then there's
okay,
a third preemie.
Go ahead.
There's a third preemie, and then there's no preemie but still in the stud book, still registered in the stud book, and then there's not registrable. And that can happen for – sometimes it happens because they have too much white. They're not allowed to – you know, horse. The Friesians are black. It's the only color they come in. And the only white that's allowed is a small – You can't have a small star in the center of the forehead, and that's it. So if they have a white foot or white lip, they can't be registered as a book.
Okay, I have one question about Turing. We're talking with Janine Everhart, who is the owner and proprietor of Tan Bark Acres, and she is kind of a Turing expert, and what that is, of course, is how you get the horses approved. You say that you're taking in these three-year-old horses to these Turings, and at three years old, you have to take them around, and you have to do all sorts of, I'm assuming, in-hand stuff. And in my knowledge and experience, a three-year-old stud colt is, you know, pretty high-flying at times. Do they judge them on their behavior as well? Because they could get a little wild, or do they look past the behavior and see the horse, or is that factored in?
Well, they do care about the temperament, and they call it, the Dutch call it, the word they use is character. So sometimes I'll say that word, does the horse have good character? What they mean is, does it have a good temperament? Now, of course, if you have a three-year-old stallion, they can be kind of peppy. Now, it can hurt them a little bit when they're judged at the walk, because if they're all excited and they're hopping around, they can't really judge them fairly, you know, so they may not get a good score on the walk. But the only I have been to occurring, this was a few years ago, where they brought a stallion in, and he was not well behaved at all. And he was trying to kick, and he was really not well behaved. And the judge went up to the owner and said, he needs to be a gelding. I hadn't seen that before. Now there's not a rating on the score sheet for character or for temperament. There is for the approved stallions. That's one of the things they're rated on. But at the curring, which is step one, you know, there's not for that. But generally, okay, if you have a horse that's poorly behaved, they're not going to show themselves well, and they may not get a good score because of that.
Hey, I was just thinking about this. Now, I have ADD, so my mind wanders. But, you know, we should have curring for humans. And you should be able to go up and say, okay, not approved for breeding gelding.
But you know, I've also heard a lot of people in my area. There happens to be a lot of saddlebred folks because it's just a prevalent breed here in my area. And I hear a lot of them saying, "I wish they would do this sort of thing for the saddlebreds, because then we wouldn't have, you know, we might have stronger backs or whatever it is that they're looking for. That's not just movement." Because, the Dutch spend a lot with a conformation. They really care about things like the length of the leg and the slope of the shoulder and the length of the neck. And every single piece of that, it's not for beauty. It's for utilitarian reasons. What's going to make this horse, in this case, they're looking at what's going to make the horse a better riding horse. Because the Dutch are all about, if we have a horse that can't be utilized, then the breed's not going to survive. So they breed for utilitarian reasons, which right now they see as being a riding horse. So they're trying to move
that direction. Well, Janine, we appreciate you being on. Unfortunately, we're running out of time here. I think we could talk to you all day because we're so curious about it. But I think you've given us a good, you know, curring 101 lesson here about what it is and why it happens. And I think, as we've learned, the Frisians do it, you know, to the extent that not a lot of other breeds do. Tell everybody what your website is and where they can find you if they want to get in contact with you.
Well, our website is Tan Bark Acres. That's TanBarkAcres. TanBarkAcres.com. And I actually do have some educational articles on there, and I just did an educational series on the curring that discusses what the judges are looking for and has video clips of two different mares. So you can, one's more of a harness type, one is more of a riding type, but they did happen to both make star, so it's kind of good to compare and contrast those two horses. And I talk about what I think the judges were looking for. And I do show the score sheet, the linear score sheet, that kind of report card I was telling about for those horses. So, again, TanBarkAcres.com. And to reach me,
right,
there's a contact link there, and you can just fill out a form, and you'll be able to email me through that.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Janine. We appreciate you being on today.
And by the way, it's the greatest breed. I love them to pieces.
I'm hoping you would say that.
I've never had, these horses are more, they're almost like dogs. They just love people. And I've been around horses all my life, and there's nothing like these guys. They're the greatest.
Well, sold. We all want one now.
I'm already shopping at eastpoint.com. What are you talking about? So, thank you, Denise.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was Janine. She's from Tan Bark Acres, and we're going to take a quick break here for the news, and then we're coming back with the Chronicle Report that we do every Friday. But here's Chris Stafford with the news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. Zenyatta has retired to the breeding shed following her recent defeat, which closed the curtains on her racing career. The six-year-old mare will enjoy her second career at Lane's End Farm in Versailles, Kentucky. Her breeding plans are undecided at this time. Zenyatta's owner, Jerry Moss, the founder of AMM Records, brought the mare out of retirement for the 2010 season. She was aiming for a perfect record following 19 straight wins when she was beaten by a short head in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic by Blame on November 6th at Churchill Downs. The Dressage Foundation has announced the 2010 recipients of the Carol Lavelle Gifted Scholarships for Adult Amateurs. Each recipient will receive a $1,000 scholarship to enable them to set aside quality time in concentrated trainer with a horse they own with a trainer of their choice. The five recipients are Robin Davis Hahn from North Carolina, Nancy Spear from Illinois, Lydia Major from Minnesota, Trudy Tatum from Idaho, and Christy San Antonio from Louisiana. Christy will be training with Heather Blitz, who is a frequent co-host on the Dressage Radio Show. The Gifted Fund was originally seeded with donations from Carol Lavelle, which she received in special remembrance of her great dressage horse, Gifted. Friends of the Dressage Foundation and Carol Lavelle have added donations, and the scholarship fund has grown steadily over the years. The Unwanted Horse Coalition's Operation Gelding program is off to a successful start. The program, which was launched in August 2010 with the help of seed money from the American Association of Equine Practitioners Foundation and the Coalition, is designed to offer funding assistance to organizations, associations, and events that wish to conduct a public gelding clinic under the name and guidelines of Operation Gelding. An organization that has completed an Operation Gelding clinic will receive funding of $50 per horse, $1,000 maximum, to aid in the costs associated with the clinic. Numerous groups have contacted the coalition with interest in organizing an Operation Gelding clinic. Currently, there are 14 Operation Gelding clinics on the schedule to be held across the country before the end of 2010, with locations including Colorado, Ohio, Texas, Georgia, and Kansas. With three Operation Gelding clinics already completed, the Coalition and the AAEP have helped aid in the castration of approximately 30 horses. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning! Oh, what a beautiful day! I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, we're back, and this half hour is sponsored by FeedXL. FeedXL does all the smart stuff it takes to formulate and balance a horse's diet. It takes all the science and math that a doctor of equine nutrition learns and makes it super easy and fun for you to use. Simply type in your information at the easy-to-understand website, and it prompts you through it. It'll take you and give you results in just seconds. And the results are incredibly detailed, much more than you'll find on any feed bag. FeedXL is like having your own personal equine nutritionist stuffed into your back pocket. And FeedXL is so good that it's used by leading equine nutritionists to formulate balanced science for their clients. FeedXL, perfect tool to give you accurate information you need to keep your horse's diet healthy and balanced all year round. For more information or to plug your information in and find out if you're feeding your horse correctly, go to feedxl.com.
Well, Glenn, it's Friday, and that means that we
Friday!
Yay, Friday, woo! Well, that means we have our Friday Chronicle report with Lisa. And before we get to her, I want to remind everybody that today we have an amazing prize to give away, a choice of one of the memory foam or stabilizer half pads from EcoGold. That's a $130 value, and I know all of our listeners always like to take care of their horses, so how you can win that prize is give us a call here at 347-637-3238 or head to our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning, just search for that, and then be a part of our Facebook page, post where you listen, how you listen, put a picture of your horse up. We don't really care. We just want you involved in our Facebook page. And then you have the potential to win that memory foam or stabilizer half pad from EcoGold. Well, let's go ahead and say good morning to Lisa. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, we're happy it's Friday, and we're happy to talk to you. And I hear that I missed, because I was at a wedding in New Orleans last week, I hear that I really missed out on some awesome information.
Yeah, it was really fun. We looked back at a lot of history. I might have to do it again, because I have to admit that going through all those volumes it's a really good time for me.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
We might have to do that again on here at some point.
So what are you going to talk to us about today? There is a news story that I think you're going to cover that is absolutely fascinating. The drama of this story is fascinating to me. And what is going to happen? Where is it going to go? Why don't you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, this morning I wanted to talk to you. Again, it's a little bit of a slow week here. This is kind of that unusual time of year. All the fall competitions have wrapped up. The next big thing we look at is the annual meeting. So we'll have USDF, US Eventing, US Hunter Jumper Association, and you know, the overall U.S. Equestrian Federation, they'll have their annual meeting soon. So that's sort of what we're gearing up for next. But those aren't for a couple weeks. So, yeah, we're a little slow. But this week was kind of exciting. We had some big news. I guess it was November 8th, and I'm sure everyone remembers the lovely horse whose name I can barely pronounce, La Biostatique Sam. Maybe that's how you pronounce that. I think we'll just call him Sam.
Yeah, just call him Sam.
Biostatic Sam.
I think I was calling him Biscuit Sam for a while or something. I have absolutely no idea how to say that.
Yeah.
But in any case, he was the individual gold medal winner in eventing at the WEG. Michael Young rode him, and it was just phenomenal. He was, I can't remember how many points, but, I mean, he won it by a lot. I think it was someone in the press conference said, you know, it was Michael Young first, everyone else nowhere. It was just remarkable. They were, you know, incredible in all three phases. And so I think after that, everyone was assuming the horse is only 10. It's a 10-year-old horse, assuming that they'd be looking forward to the 2012 Olympics. But some circumstances have unfolded since then, and things are looking kind of interesting for them. So the horse is owned, 40% of him is owned by the Young family, which I think is Michael and his father, Yochum. I'm not exactly sure how to say that either. And then the other 60% is owned by a woman named Sabine Kruder. And Sabine originally bought Sam at an auction, a stallion auction, when he was a two-year-old for only 8,000 euro, which is, you know, not a huge investment in a horse. And the horse arrived at the Young farm when he was a five-year-old. That was in 2005. And shortly after he arrived, they made a contract with Sabine Kruder, and they said they would pay the horse's expenses in exchange for 40% ownership of him. So that sort of gives you a little bit of background. But there was some talk immediately after the WEG that the horse would likely be sold. And while they were still in Kentucky, Michael Young and his family tried to bring together some sponsors and raise enough money to buy Sabine's share of the horse. And I believe they offered her about... Sorry?
Yeah, because now she wants a ridiculous amount of money for him, obviously, considering he's been so successful under Michael.
Right. And so they offered, I think it was 600,000 for, I'm not sure, I think that's euros, 600,000 euros for 60% of the horse. And she declined. She said that she'd had offers as high as 2 million euros. So that, you know, seemed like it was going to get contentious. And it really did. On November 8th, Sabine allegedly came to the Young stable when no one was around and took Sam. She took him back to her barn.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Horrible. So basically, Michael Young goes out to his barn to find his prize horse that he wants to take to the Olympics is
yep.
gone.
It's gone
yep. from the barn.
And it's not just, I mean, it seemed in the press conference and just from watching them that, you know, Michael and Sam seem to really have a super connection. And Michael talked about, you know, he's the only one who rides the horse. He's ridden him basically every day since he was a five-year-old. And it just seemed like they had this super bond, and so I just can't imagine. You know, he goes out to the barn, and the horse is just not there.
I have goosebumps
thinking about
that.
I mean, what's the first thing
that
goes through your head, you know?
I know. So I guess the first thing that went through his head was to call his lawyer, and they got Sabine on the phone, I guess, and she said, you know, that Michael knew I was taking the horse, and of course the Young said, you know, no way, that was not permitted. Under their current contract, the horse was to stay at the Youngs until December 31st, and then they would discuss how potential buyers could look at him, if he would be taken to Sabine's barn or not. So around the same time, though, there's interesting news, and they're very worried. The Youngs are very worried about the horse. They said that he has, you know, very specific, like any, you know, upper-level horse, very specific feeding, you know, schedules and very specific ways that he has to be ridden. And so they're worried a little bit about the safety of the horse as well, especially because Sabine has a barn that was near where there was an equine infectious anemia outbreak,
mm-hmm.
which is what, you know, we test our horses for every year with a Coggins test, and it's fatal
and
if they get it. They basically have to be euthanized.
It's immediately fatal because the government will put your horse down immediately if it comes
yeah.
positive with a test. So you've got this. Let me just to sum it up here. This woman said, who owns 60% of Sam, said that the Young said, oh, they said I could come get the horse. And
right.
lo and behold, she does it when nobody's around. And
right.
then tells the police, oh, no, they told me I could. Okay, Sabine, well, there's, I mean, granted, there's always two sides to every story. And she has been unbelievably quiet about this whole thing.
Yeah, she really has.
She doesn't know what it is. Yeah, she doesn't know what it eats. She doesn't know how it gets ridden. She doesn't know the training program it's on because these upper-level horses, yeah, he might get a little vacation after the legs, but he's back in work already, and she
right.
doesn't have any of that. And she wasn't supposed to even – the contract doesn't even end until December 31st. So,
right.
I mean, is that horse theft when you – take your own horse from the trainer's barn, but they own 40%. It's an interesting case to see what's going to happen, but I do believe they did come up with a temporary injunction, right?
Yep, they filed an injunction because first Sabine said, okay, you know, we'll bring the horse back, and then a few days later, after he was supposed to be back, she said, no, I'm not going to do that. So the Youngs filed an injunction, and she did return the horse. I think it was just a few days ago. So the horse is back at Michael Young's now, which is good for the horse, I assume.
So,
yeah.
Lisa,
yep.
more and more event riders are entering into this type of contract where they don't own the horse, whereas 20, 30 years ago, an event rider either owned the horse completely or the person who did own the horse was frequently another family member or a close family business associate that they'd had business dealings with before. Versus
yep, Jacqueline Mars.
Yeah, we're really
yep.
going towards more of you meet somebody, you shake hands, you make a contract, you syndicate the horse. Is this a type of confusion? Because what really it probably boils down to legal confusion that we're going to start to see a little bit more of in the eventing business as people learn how to do these types of contracts?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I hope that we don't. I think for the most part, especially in the United States, it seems like we have really super owners, you know. You'd like the Mars family has been behind
Thanks
the O'Connors
for
forever and ever, and it's just you can't fathom them doing anything like this.
Well,
but
and of
I
course, this
imagine,
sounds eerily familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the situation happened with right after the WEG with another horse that was very successful there.
Yeah, well, of course, we're talking about Edward Gow.
Yep.
So that was kind of the same situation. And I think Jennifer's right. It's a risk, and Edward said this too. It's a risk you take when you're riding somebody else's horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's ways to do things, and you can do things with class, or you can do things underhanded. And it certainly seems to me, and again, I don't know her side of the story. This could be totally his fault, whatever. It's still, the point is that she went to the farm when nobody was there and took the horse. Without knowing what it ate, without knowing, you know, and I know that there's some reports and friends of hers that have commented on blogs. She knows what the horse eats. She knows this. She knows that. Well, obviously, the judge didn't think so, and obviously Michael Young didn't think so. Needless to say, the contract still ends December 31st, and I know she says she has a buyer, but, you know, I just don't know how all this bad blood just happens. I mean, this must have been building up over time. There's got to be a whole lot more to the story, and we definitely are interested in to see what happens with Sam and Michael Young and Sabine and all that. So definitely keep us posted on that, Lisa.
Yep, I will. It's a pretty interesting story. I mean, I hope that it doesn't set a precedent, you know, for future bad relations like this between owners and riders.
Hey, Lisa,
but, yeah,
was that
more event gelding
or a stallion?
Sorry?
Was it a gelding or a stallion? I don't remember.
You know, I think he's a gelding, yep.
Well, why would you pay $2 million for a gelding?
I know.
Because you can go to the Olympics with him?
I
think part of this is that event horses, up until somewhat recently, just weren't worth as much money, you know, which is sort of a terrible thing to say, but a lot of them were thoroughbreds.
$600,000 for a 20% share, you would have begged for that.
Yeah. And, you know, they lead slightly risky lives, and it's unusual to see one of them win so much consistently because there are so many variables. You know, it's normal. Everyone expected a totalist to win, but even though there were so many top event horses, no one really knows who's going to win those things.
Right, right. Well, that's an interesting story, Lisa. We appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, if you have comments on the whole Michael Young situation and want to give us a call, you can call 347-637-3238. We'll talk to you again next week, Lisa. And, of course, tell everybody the address of the Chronicle like they don't know it.
The Chronicle is www.crownofhorse.com.
All right. And, of course, you have one of the most popular forums in the horse world, too, and you can find that over there as well.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Lisa. We appreciate you being on. We'll talk to you again next week. Hey, look, Lisa, remember last week we all got cut off. This week we're actually saying goodbye.
Well, have a great show. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, have a great Thanksgiving.
Lisa.
All right, bye.
Hey, Jamie, I want to do. We'll do a commercial here for this half an hour, and then I have somebody on the phone here who called in that wrote to me yesterday, and I want to get her on the air, and I forgot to even mention it to you, but I think it's similar, not exactly, to what we were just talking about, but I think it's something that, you know, that we need to talk about today. So why don't I talk about Kentucky Performance Products. Joint Armor from KPP provides your horse with the building blocks necessary to maintain healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Joint Armor is concentrated and affordable. One jar lasts up to 75 days. Joint Armor helps maintain fluid motion and flexibility in your horse's joints. It also supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Kentucky Performance Products Quality Assurance provides you with the confidence that you are purchasing a safe, high-quality product. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Learn more about Joint Armor from KPP and all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. Well, I want to get. I'm not even sure how I say your name. Is it Bernice or Bernice?
Bernice.
Okay, Bernice. This is Glenn and Jamie, and you're on the air here on Horses in the Morning. And I do appreciate you calling in. You had emailed me yesterday about a situation that you have going on right now, and I just wanted to get you on the air with all of our thousands of listeners to see if we could help you out. Can you tell us what happened and what's going on?
Yes, I had a black and white Pasifino stallion. He's approximately 16 years old, stolen out of his pasture September the 16th of this year. I had no idea what kind of a problem that horse theft was in the United States until it happened to me. Excuse me.
That's okay. And you, now you wrote to me.
He's been missing
you
now
have,
for 10 weeks.
Oh, man.
And you've had some reports, haven't you?
Yes. The first week I had a report of somebody that saw him in Lebanon, Missouri, tied to the back of a gray stock trailer.
Oh, gosh.
And actually two people had confirmed that. And then a week later, a guy called me and said he had just saw my flyers, and he had actually seen my horse on the trails at Lead Mine down by Lebanon. That same weekend, he was spotted tied to the back of the trailer. He said he didn't know that it was a stolen horse at the time, but when he approached the guy about the horse, the guy just kept on riding past him. He said he didn't want to talk. He was just wanting to ask him, you know, about his horse. He said he knew it was a Pasofino because he had Pasofinos, and you just don't see many down there on the trails.
Well, and this is a very colorful, flashy horse. This is not, you know, it's not another black horse standing in a line. You would recognize this one.
Oh, yes. He stands out. I mean, He's a knockout. His mane is super long, but they may have cut it. It's real thick, though. It's still real super thick, even though they may have altered it somehow. It's mostly white except for up at the top by the forelock, and the top of the pole is black. And he has a huge white star and a huge white snip. All four legs are white. The top of his tail is white, but the rest of the tail is black. He has the distinct Pasofino gait. And, I mean, he has excellent front leg action.
Now, let me ask you, do you have this horse on? I know a really good resource is Net Posse. Obviously, is your horse on Net Posse?
Yes, he is on Net Posse. They have been so wonderful. He also has his own Facebook page under Maito Carbon Copy. And then he has a video on YouTube under Passos, P-A-S-O-S, the number 4 and the letter U. And it's Stolen Horse, Please Help.
Okay, well, we're going to put a picture of him up online for sure. And, Glenn, this definitely comes, brings into light what I was talking to you about last week, is that we need to do a show on have different people from around the world talk about how you can prevent horse theft, because people don't understand that it really does happen. My horse has a freeze brand. They've got now the microchips for horses and a bunch of different things. So unfortunately, this kind of stuff happens, and it's devastating, and I can't even imagine what you're going through right now to get reports of your baby being, seen tied to the back of a trailer. And just know that the person who does something like that has a very special seat somewhere very, very hot at the end of everything.
They took a family member. They took part of my family.
Yeah, you did. I do know that you did file a police report. Is that correct? Back in September.
Yes, that's the first thing you do. The minute you find your horse being stolen, you file a police report, and then the next step is to get it on Net Posse. I mean, they have a wonderful networking system, and they get it out to so many people. I've received probably 700 emails from people all over the United States. And,
well, I'll tell you what, Bernice, what we're going to do for you is we're going to post this on all of our Facebook pages as well. We have a number of them. We have almost 6,000 people following us, and we'll post that. So we'll do everything we can to help you out. I can't imagine what this would be like if it was one of ours, and it's so easy for them to just take them right out of the field. So we will do everything we can to get the word about Maito. And, good luck. Keep in touch with me. Drop me an email, every once in a while, and let me know what's going on, if there's been any new news.
Oh, I sure will. I just thank you guys so much for helping me get this aired. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Heart, you know, this is something where the horse community needs to come together, and I do recommend that everybody go to netposse.com, netposse.com, and you can join it, and you can become a part of helping people like Bernays and helping them find their horses. You know, you look at these emails, they come to you, they say, hey, this horse is gone. You go out riding on a trail, and you potentially could be the one to bring it home. So our heart goes out to you so much to have something like this, you know, to have one of your kids taken out of your backyard, and it's devastating, and we will, you know, say a little prayer for you and hope that he comes back.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Bernice. Thank you very much. Well, that was Bernice. She is the owner of Mayito, who came up missing, was stolen a while back, and we wanted to do what we could. She sent me an email yesterday, and you know, Jamie, I totally forgot to warn you that she would be calling today. But, you know, I just thought it was important that, you know, on a Friday before Thanksgiving that we help this poor lady out. And what a beautiful horse.
Oh, it's just devastating. I would be fit to be tied if I had to go outside and see my horse missing. It's just, oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? You go out to get your horse. I mean, poor Michael Young, same deal, goes out to the barn. Obviously not exactly the same, but he goes out to the barn to get on his horse, and it's gone. This lady goes outside to get on her horse, and it's gone. And it's stolen.
Yes.
It's not like it opened the gate and is over in the hay barn. I mean, it is gone. So, you know,
Right. Bless
these people's hearts. And I know that there's other people that have been through it. And, you know, we'd love to hear your happy endings, too, the happy stories about this.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some of them that come home. One of the things I thought about is many of us go to Craigslist or to horse sales that are open to the public. In other words, you just drive up with your horse and sell it. Or go and look at horses that are available for purchase at private farms where they're just a pile of horses in the backyard. And it would probably be smart of us to join Net Posse so we can be aware of what's going on, kind of like that cop show. You walk in and you look at a horse and sketchy background. Oh, we've had the horse for years. Well, how'd he get this such and such? I don't know. And you go to yourself, boy, for a guy who's had this horse for years, he doesn't know it very well. Or you talk to somebody and you get to know somebody and it's like, wow, all kinds of alarms going off in my head. You go to Net Posse and voila, there that horse is, because so, I imagine a good percentage of the time that horse changes hands many, many times and then he's lost track of and the owners don't have the opportunity to get him back. But if you're aware of what's up on Net Posse that's been stolen, you know, you go look at that horse standing in that dark barn and go, you know something? That horse is on Net Posse. I need to get in my car and make a little phone call on my cell phone when I leave.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to join it. I think it's a great resource for everybody. And if you're concerned about this, then what we're going to have to do is, and we'll talk about it next week, I'm sure, is find the different ways to protect you and your horse. You know, you can't, unfortunately, stop everything, but you can at least try to safeguard a little bit by doing some identification. So bless her heart and bless Michael Young and the poor guys just having to deal with this. And I'm sure there's other people out there. I do know of a story in Atlanta where the barbed wire was cut and a woman's paint horse was taken. And the dumb thing about taking a paint horse, hello, they're pretty
easy to spot. Yeah, they're pretty colorful.
it's so, you know, this paint horse was stolen and was taken about 4 miles down the road and put in somebody else's yard. And, you know, oh, we found it. No, you didn't find it. You had, and they, it was so obvious that these people had stolen this horse. You know, there's plenty of horses out there that need homes, for crying out loud. Why you got to take somebody else's? So,
good
just,
point.
Bad situation,
but.
People do get caught, and you will get caught, and you will go to jail, and the people will get their horse back, and then you have to answer to the big man upstairs when that all happens, for sure.
Well, we wish her the best of luck, but next week, you know, so be thankful. Speaking of next week, Thanksgiving is next week here in the United States, and that's on Thursday, and we, you know, be thankful that you have the horses you have, you know, walk out and pet their noses on Thanksgiving morning, and do all of that because, you know, that call just makes, you know, it's one of the reasons I wanted you know, to get her on the air today was to tell her story and also make everybody realize what they do have. We are we have an altered schedule next week. On Monday, I think we're both – are you at home on Monday and Tuesday, Jamie? Is that how it's working?
I'm home on Monday, then I will be broadcasting live Tuesday through Friday from Norman, Oklahoma. What's in Norman, Oklahoma, you may ask?
Yeah, well,
I do.
I was going to ask more.
Internet.
Do they have it? Yeah, oh, good. Just a second.
My husband is rolling his eyes at me right now because he, while we'll be broadcasting live from the in-laws' house.
Ah, I got it.
My first Thanksgiving with the in-laws as an in-law, you know, them being my in-laws. So my first married Thanksgiving, and I'll be broadcasting from the in-laws' house. So if you hear me screaming and if I'm venting a little bit, please forgive me. No, honey, I'm just kidding. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. It's going to be really fun. Husband's right behind me.
Well, we are. Well, we're going to have a little bit of an altered schedule. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll be live as normal. Thursday, we are recording a very special show for Thanksgiving Day. So if you're not in the United States, or if you are in the United States, please listen in because it's going to be very special. We have Marianne Kennedy joining us. She's a singer-songwriter from Nashville. We played a couple of her songs here on the morning show and all over the Horse Radio Network. She is terrific. She's going to be joining us for a whole hour. We're going to be just chatting with her, playing music, and that'll be recorded so that we won't be taking live calls on Thursday. But you will be able to just tune in and listen to some terrific horse music. She has some of the best horse songs out there, and, you know, she'll be joining us for Thanksgiving Day, so that's very special. And then Friday we'll be back to being live, although it's going to be a shortened show. It'll be about an hour, and it's, you know, we're just going to sit around and chat and you know, talk about holidays, and, of course, it's Black Friday, so I think that Jamie, Jennifer, and I will be talking a little bit about horse products and gifts and things like that. So we want you to join us all next week. Yeah. Are you? You know, you really ought to mention it on the air, and we can put a little donation box by the front counter.
Or you just send the email of all the things I ask for to my husband.
So you're going to be having Thanksgiving at the in-laws' house. Now, will you have to be involved in any of the cooking process?
Oh, yeah. Well, basically what happens is this will be my third Thanksgiving with the family. And what happens is they don't really involve me in much of the cooking. I get to go decorate the table. So Chad's mom gives it, here's the candles, here's some stuff, and just go in there and decorate the table. So I have, being a vegetarian, nothing to do with the turkey. Everybody kind of has been around for quite some time, so they all have their jobs already. I'm the newbie, so I get to decorate the table and then help with the dishes.
Well, you know, one good thing about being a vegetarian at Thanksgiving is there's always lots of side dishes.
Well, and I do mention that the fact that I make pie. I forgot to say that my great aunt Ellen, who every year she wins the Ohio State Fair in pie making, she taught me how to make peach pie. So I still make that every Thanksgiving too.
Well, there you go. Jennifer's
so
great at cheesecake. Jennifer learned from her grandmother years ago how to make the best cheesecake. It's actually a 2-day process. But it is one of the best cheese. It's so creamy, and it has layers to it. It is just unbelievable. And, we love that cheesecake. I think that was Nana's cheesecake, and Jennifer is the one to carry that tradition down. And she really should make one for Thursday because now I'm really hungry.
Starving
thanks,
now.
Jamie. Thanks for talking about dessert.
Start now. It apparently takes a couple days, Jennifer.
It does.
For an early lunch, actually. Well, this has been a terrific week. What fun it has been working with you again, Jamie. We have talked to some of the coolest people and, you know, callers and guests, and we'll have more of those for you next week. Remember that you can win the half pad from Eco Gold. It's a terrific $130 value. You can see those at ecogold.ca, and you can win that just by posting on our Facebook page. Tell us when and how you listen to the show. You have until Monday morning at 9 a.m., and we'll announce it next Monday morning who the winner was. Congratulations to our winner of yesterday's, and that was Rita Hansen. And we appreciate you posting the picture of your really cute miniature donkey, Oliver. Oh, that is one I want to steal out of the field. That one's really cute.
Oh, my gosh, Glenn. By the end of this show, you're going to have Frisians, donkeys, Percherons.
Oh, wait a minute. Stop. Hold the presses. I continued shopping while you were talking on equine.com. Now, this one's in California, so it's a little far for me to go. But get this. Jennifer's going to die because she's just going to go, oh, she's rolling her eyeballs right now. It is a Percheron Frisian cross. The cutest mare you have ever seen, and it looks like a Percheron Frisian cross. It has the mane, but it has a little bit bigger body. 16-2 hands, 1,800 pounds, and get this, it's a trail, it's a dressage horse, it's a field hunter, and it's listed as a beginning family. And on their rating, from 1 being bomb-proof to 10 being hot, it's a 2. They have pictures of little kids on it. I could ride this horse and drive it, whatever. I'm ready to go. Let's go. California, Laguna, California. We're going to go check. It's only $4,500 too.
Wow, not bad. You don't even have to take out a second mortgage.
No, well, maybe a little loan. But because we don't have that much to get it back from California. But what a terrific-looking horse. You better stop me, Jennifer. We better just end the show. You can walk over and take the mouse out of my hand.
Glenn, step away from the microphone.
Well, now we know, Jennifer, we know what all the awkward silences were during the show today. It was just Glenn online horse shopping.
He was shopping.
That's pretty bad.
He wasn't even listening.
My ADD. It's Friday.
Like, thanks for joining us today, Glenn. Appreciate that little piece you just threw in right there at the end because you were busy, apparently, shopping for horses. So,
listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. They've all come out now for the week. You'll find the jumping, dressage, all of those shows. Stable Scoop will be out later in the day. You're going to want to catch the Stable Scoop show this weekend. We had Equestrian Collections on, and we did the gift buying episode. It's our third annual gift buying episode on Stable Scoop. Can you believe that? So we talked about the hot products for this year, the things you're going to want to buy as gifts. You'll find out on Stable Scoop over the weekend, so you don't want to miss that. And then all the other shows on the network are out, too, at horseradionetwork.com. And as we said, you can follow us on Facebook. It's easy to search for Horses in the Morning, and that's where you can see if you – well, you can, well, we'll post it on Monday, and you can see if you won. But we are also on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you missed the live show, of course, we'll listen to any of the recorded ones, like Glenn mentioned. We'll be back on Monday. I hope you all have a fantastic weekend on your horses. We'll be back on Monday, and I'll let you know how the bomb-proof your horse clinic goes with me and a bunch of my girlfriends taking our horses to it. And hopefully I'll be here Monday morning after they make me throw a tarp on top of my warm blood. We'll see what happens. Be back Monday. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Ride safely on Sunday, Jamie, and everybody else over the weekend. Wear your helmet, and we'll see you next week.